God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. You can build a paradise or wall yourself into a tomb. A kick against the holy wound, a kick against the wounds. We're still one, be you so blind to fight against a living lie. You can't hide inside that night, there's nowhere to go. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him every morning when the sun is rising. Stronger than a lie, water's harder than a stone. No one has to be alone. Tears will wash you dry.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Dog Poet is sidestepping and making little leaps over obstacles and road hazards on his way to the saucer. Further up ahead, I can see some number of false flags, which makes the area look like the aftermath of a political holiday that featured an open bar. Can we read the signs on the ground and then interpret them as indicators of what is to come? They trotted out another dysfunctional car bomb, this time in New York City. They say they don't know who left it there, but did happen to mention their Muslim militants favored this sort of thing, which is why the stormtroopers over at Homeland Insecurity parked it out there in the first place. And a wonderful good evening from the good folks at Homeland Insecurity. We stage the terror attacks, expose and defuse the terror attacks, and protect you top to bottom with our comprehensive terror program. There's no need to import outsiders who can't read the script and might actually make something explode. We bring you the fear without the danger. We scare your butt and save your butt with our all-inclusive soup-to-nuts operation. We're an organization of proud men and women who know what you are looking for in a terrorist, and every one of them meets the Israeli standard and has been personally vetted by the Israeli Mossad before they even pick up a fuse or a machine pistol. Our material needs are met by our good friends over at Halliburton, who just distinguished themselves by installing the exploding concrete structure that's made the Gulf of Mexico an ebony glitter under a gibbous moon. Now's the time to take that evening boat ride and enjoy the romance of one more dead zone, brought to you by the international corporations and their tireless efforts at self-service at the public expense. The Dog Poet is howling at Planet X, which he's mistaken for the moon, but he's comforted by the information that he is not mistaking transparent lies for the truth, nor has he felt inspired to sit up and beg notice from a nasty little crime syndicate in the Middle East that is disguised as a country. Like the political leaders of a nation where he used to be a citizen before his self-respect got the better of him, preserving one's honor and maintaining one's dignity can seem like a pointless task when so many are indifferent and can no longer even spell the words. It's not easy being half Devic Realm dog and half sepia-toned anachronism. So it's going off all over the place. Halliburton assisted poisoning of the Gulf Coast, Hillary Clinton's nonstop impersonation of a hydrophobic circus clown, proving that when you're owned by a Middle East crime consortium pretending to be a country, you're no longer able to see or hear what you look and sound like because you are now blind and deaf to all reality and reason. You've sold your soul and your senses for the privilege of being a joke and an embarrassment to the human race. So I've been thinking about what kind of power it must be that makes it possible for people not to be able to see what's going on around them, not to be able to distinguish between the real and the unreal, to be indifferent to the criminal behavior of their leaders, and unconcerned by illegal wars and genocide. The capacity for empathy seems to have receded away. Disaster strikes somewhere and it becomes nothing now more than a TV show. Humanity has become separated from events. It's like the homeless people outside the car windows you drive by. They're not actually there. This all speaks to why materialism and the attendant glamour are among the greatest dangers we face. People generally think in terms of earthquakes, tidal waves, and hurricanes, but these are localized phenomena. Even when they cost a large number of lives, they're localized. The hypnotic force, the magnetic pull of materialism and glamour are everywhere. They're not local. They're global. They have created a level of existence that is shared by everyone who is affected by the physics of this artificial environment. The minds of the people inside the environment are all reduced to a collective belief in the reality of the environment, which is not real. The emerging pathologies and epidemic dysfunction in the collective psyche express themselves in religious hysteria, unusual forms of sexual expression, and the overpowering fire of greed to acquire anything and everything at the expense of anyone without the interference of conscience. Conscience is one of the most valuable things a human being can possess because it authenticates their humanity and is one of the things that are being driven off into the desert because it interferes with psychopathic behavior. Take some time to study humanity as it passes before your view. Sit in a mall or on a park bench and observe the behavior and the focus of their attention. Things are happening to the human heart and mind through the agency of television and music, through the ever-increasing variations of entertainment. You will note the iPods and similar devices that are used to wall off the presence of other people. The purpose is to insulate the separated mind from the lives of the others around them. The introduction of thug consciousness into the culture via the schools and as a celebrated expression in the music are all conscious creations of the representatives of materialism in their effort toward complete control of the human mind. There's no difference between materialism and Satanism. The belief that the material world is the only world there is what puts the devil on the throne of the world. The appearance of the divine is reversed, and the operation of the divine is turned toward confinement and bondage as opposed to revelation and liberation. Liberation. This force of materialism has its agents everywhere. They serve the darkness that blinds the mind from awareness of the indwelling ruler. It goes without saying that nearly all politicians and business people, as well as those on the higher rungs of religious organizations and in the fields of entertainment, all serve the ancient enemy of humanity. As the power of materialism increases, then so does the power of those who serve it, or it seems to. Many of us find it difficult to understand why anyone would serve a particular force whose intention is to destroy us at some point, and which is also only the shadow of God and has only the power that God allows it. The reasons for this are to be found within the minds of those who turn their will over to the force of the dark side. You only see what relates to the state and the station you're in. You do not see the alternatives, and when you do, they do not look appealing because your mind is under the control of the force that presents materialism as the supreme goal of existence. This is why so many of the people who serve this force can never have enough of anything when they already have too much of everything. This is why those with billions of dollars seek for ever more. This is why no matter how big your house is, it's too small or there still aren't enough houses in your possession. It's all very much like feeding a fire and expecting it to be satisfied at some point. That is not the nature of fire. Fire will continue to consume for as long as there is something to consume. It seems like a foolish choice to step away from the smorgasbord of materialism and to hand over your fate to an invisible intelligence when you can't see its presence and where the only presence you do see are the engines and products of materialism. It takes a great leap of faith to trust in the invisible to meet your every need. Fear and doubt are two forces that accompany materialism, and they war against personal faith the whole day long and in the dark of night when sleep won't come. It's a hard thing to hold to what you cannot see and know it to be true in the face of very different behavior on all sides of you. It's not easy, people, but it is the very difficulty of it which makes us strong. Few of us understand the implications of our divine heritage or where it leads. For those of us who will grasp the vision and hold on with all their might, for those of us who will believe beyond the lack of evidence to confirm what we believe, there is a destiny that is beyond the present scope of the present state of the human mind. It is an ever-ascending spiral path that leads into kingdoms of light that are beyond the ability of our imagination to display. We are the children of the Most High, and we are heir to all that our parent possesses. We turned away from this and burrowed into the murk of the worlds of darkness. We no longer remember who we are and have no concept of the powers that are secreted in our being. We go in search of things while we already carry them with us as we go. We are deceived and made into beggars at a far distance from our true home. We have to awaken, but so many of us are moving deeper into sleep. Somehow we think that the material world will provide for all of the solutions to all of the problems it creates just by being. That ain't gonna happen. The solutions to all of our problems lie within us. We won't find them outside, and without a spiritual light to inform our consciousness, we won't recognize them or know how to apply them anyway. We only know what we know based on what is revealed to us, by whatever force we serve. We cannot see the truth unless we carry some part of it with us. In this sense, all of us do, because the truth is the power of the life that animates us. It's the difference between being truly alive or one of the walking dead. The game appears to be very heavily stacked against us. One might well think that there is no way that we, as the tiny and uninformed creatures that we are, could survive in these times going against the flow of the deluded into the darkness behind. No street signs, no maps, no community in agreement with the common purpose of our better nature. The power to see and understand comes from within, and it is greater than all of the forces of the world were they joined together in a common purpose. We need to be able to see this when we can't see anything else. We need to believe it when there is no evidence to support our belief. We need to deliver the whole of our loyalty and attention to the power within and take no notice of the phantasms without. It's not an easy course, but those of us who have walked even only a little way know that help comes in the most mysterious forms. We find that the world troubles us less and less as we become more surrendered to the intelligence within. Assistance comes from all kinds of directions for those who are seeking the highest while avoiding the wars and conflicts that operate in the lowest. Nothing is what it appears to be. Everything that seems to oppose us serves the highest power. Everything that threatens and challenges us is under the control of the highest. We don't know what we're capable of until we try. We can now see how the whole of what we thought we knew is coming apart. An enormous water pipe just broke in Boston and is dumping 8 million gallons of water an hour into the Charles River. People are being told to boil their water because it isn't safe to drink. Many riots are breaking out in neighborhoods across the U.S., and the true financial crash is teetering in the clouds and adjusting itself to the direction it will soon take according to what it's supposed to hit on the way down. We are now in the time of the completely unpredictable. Each day is going to bring something new. Sometimes it will be something so small it will escape the common notice, but then it will snowball into something impressively large. The world outside is taking on a menacing persona, while the inner world is being shaken by conditions that reflect the appearance of outer danger. The worst state is to be tossed on this sea of change without a rudder. Those who have given their fealty to the power of the appearances outside of them are going to have a very difficult time steering through the confusion when they have no mechanism to steer with. I don't want to be an alarmist. One can easily see the evidence of what I am saying by observing the present state of the world and the pending threats of world conflict, which we've been hearing about for so long and have been seeing as well via Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. Even a casual inspection of present time calamities of nature and human error give us more than we may want to know about the uncertainty of these times. Things must needs run their course, and each of us will find ourselves, wherever we find ourselves, according to whose directions we followed, whose advice we took, what we felt compelled to protect and defend, depending on the value we placed upon everything we thought was important to us. Well, In the end, it comes down to a test of our values. Comes down to a judgment upon the true value of the things we've given our hearts to. Every now and then, the cosmic scales come out of some hidden back room, and they're hung in space so that everything can be weighed and defined to everyone who has chosen to be here at this time. This program will be a little shorter this evening. I think I moved a little too fast, or God only knows why, but you'll only miss a minute or so, and, not much I can do about that now. Anyway, one thing follows another, and we are all following something, too. That is the first place I would look, to see where I placed my trust and whether I should continue as I have. We need to investigate ourselves and measure our priorities and desires and let go of everything we don't need. I suspect that's a lot more than most people think it is at the moment. Well, anyway, my friends, those of you, wherever you are and who are presently listening to this live or in its download state, we've come to the end of another transmission. And I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, nothing provides such a great potential for protection and profit as an investigation into our own hearts and minds to see what is residing there. May you all find guidance as you need it in the days ahead. That said, aloha and aru!
The morning when the sun is rising, God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.